الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, there is a quote of mine which I call it my motto in life, and that is, I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. I found in life that many times we get distracted by the big picture, the global picture. To give you an example, if I ask you, how will you solve India's problem of poverty, because we have the distinction of being the nation, the number one country in the world with the largest population which is extremely poor, abject poverty, extreme poverty. Extreme poverty is defined as somebody who earns less than $1 per day. We are the country which has the maximum number of such people, number one country in the world. So if I tell you, how will you solve this problem? You might tell me, how can I solve this problem? I am one person. In India, we are talking about a maximum number of people, which is literally millions of people, hundreds of millions of people, not even millions, hundreds of millions of people. But if you localize that problem, and if you say, how can I solve it? The answer is very obvious. How can you solve it? By helping one person. Forget everybody else, helping one person. If I say, how can you solve the problem of illiteracy? I can't solve it because it's too big. Can you educate one child? Of course. One child, not more than one. Just one single child. Today, after listening to this reminder, if each one of us says that I will educate one child, I'm not saying I will send the child to Eton or Harrow or Gardenston, whichever good, decent, reasonable school, can we pay for the education of one child? Obviously, we can do that. There's no big deal. Now, if you do that, several thousand children will get educated just like that, without doing anything else. One child. And this applies across the board. And that's why I say, I will not allow what is not in my control. Meaning, solving India's poverty problem is not in my control. But I will not allow that to prevent me from doing what is in my control, which is to feed one person, to educate one child. Now, many times, this is also a psychological cop-out. Whenever anybody mentions a problem, we immediately define it on a global scale. For example, we might say, the problem of the Muslims. Now, who is the Muslims? We don't know. There's no definition. We say, the problem of the Muslims today is that there is no unity. I'm sure we've heard this a million times, everywhere. There is no unity. Ittihad hona sahab, ittihad ke bagair kuch nahi hota. Very good. If you localize it to yourself and say, what are you doing to bring about this unity? First, immediately we say, you know, all of these Shafi, Hanafi, and Salafi, and this one, and Barelvi, and Deobandi, and Shia, and Sunni, and all this must become equal. We should not have all these divisions. You know, we make all these big statements. Okay, leave that aside. If I ask this question and say, what am I as a person, as an individual, doing to bring about unity? Then we have no answer. Because as a person, as an individual, I will not pray behind this person, I will criticize that person, I will not allow that person into my masjid, I will not allow this person into my house. Where is the unity? So this is a cop-out, this is a psychological cop-out, and we do this all the time. We do this all the time in all kinds of ways. If somebody says, why is your career not going anywhere? Or why is your business not doing well? You see, there is a global financial downturn. Forget the global financial doubt and look at your own time. Are you going to the shop on time? Are you opening your shop on time? Are you going to your work on time? Are you spent doing what you are supposed to be doing? Are you reading something about your own career? What are you doing to develop yourself? All of these answers will be zero. But you want to talk about the global financial situation. So, this is a psychological cop-out. We globalize an issue because then it legitimizes your own inaction. It doesn't actually legitimize it, but we feel it legitimizes. Because it's a big issue, what can I do? Take the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always did the opposite of this. He is the man who came with a global mission. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sent him as for the whole world. Right? For the whole world. For all the people. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worked individually on individual people. He sent Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu anhu to Medina to give da'wah. At what stage? When everything was against him. He did not allow what he could not do in Makkah to prevent him from doing what he could do in Medina. He did not allow what was not in his control to prevent him from doing what was in his control. So if you read the seerah, you find not one, you find many examples of how Rasulullah ﷺ localized the issue and solved it. And obviously, as you localize and you solve one by one, things keep changing. I remember I was in a Ijtema in Tabligh Ijtema in Los Angeles, and we met somebody there who came from Sarhad, which is the border of Afghanistan and Pakistan, northwest frontier. So we asked him, you know, where did you come from and so on. He said some name of some place. So we asked him, what is this? Is it a town? Is it a city? He said, no, it's a village. So, who has come with you? There was a Jamaat, some 20-30 people who had come. So, where are they from? They are all from our surrounding villages from this place. So, we got talking and he told us about the number of Jamaats that go out from that one masjid, from that one village. So, that seemed very strange to us. So, he said, why is this one village in the middle of nowhere? How is it you have got so many people going from in Jamaat from that village? What happened? And the man told me a fantastic story which underlines this whole principle of I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. He said that there was one man in our village who went in Tabligh. He went for 4 months. He came back. And that day, some Thursday or Wednesday, whatever it was, at the time Maghrib, after the Salah, he stood up and said, after the Salah, there will be a talk on Iman and Yaqeen. Typical Tabligh announcement which you hear everywhere. So, Baqi Namazon ke baad Iman aur Yaqeen ki baat hogi. And he said the usual thing happened. The moment he made this announcement, the usual thing happened, which is even the man who used to pray Sunnah didn't pray Sunnah. He left. So he said, Masjid became empty. He said, but this man, he said, what this man did was, he said, after he finished Sunnah, he turned around, there was nobody there. He was alone. So what he did was, in Masajid, they have these topis, they keep caps. He took the caps, he took some 10-15 caps, and he arranged them in a semicircle in front of him. And he stood up, and he gave the bayan to the caps. He's talking to the caps. And then he stood, after he finished the bayan, he collected the caps, put them back. And he said, he prayed and he cried before Allah. He said, next week, same thing. He made the announcement, everybody walked away. The man brought some caps, he put the caps there and he stood and prayed. He said, week after week, this thing continued. He said, we are a small village. People started talking. First people said, what kind of a stupid man is he? He's talking to caps and so on and so on. And he said, gradually, as weeks passed, people started saying, after all, he is our brother. After all, he is from our village. All the man is saying is, I want to talk about Iman and Yaqeen. What is the problem? We are Muslims, we go to the masjid to pray. What is there if we sit for 5 minutes and listen to him? It looks so shameful that poor man is talking to the caps. He is not mad, we are mad. He said that is where it started. People started sitting, they started listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their hearts, and people started going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the work of them. Why? Because this man's principle in life, I'm sure he didn't listen to me, or he didn't do it because he had some slogan. He just made up his mind. What is not in my control is to bring people into the masjid. What is in my control is to deliver my talk. I can do that. I can deliver my talk. I cannot make people sit, but I can talk. So I will talk. Whether anybody is sitting or not sitting is not my problem. I will talk. And this is also what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you call the adhan. Said, Ya Allah, who will come? This is the place where the... Allah said, that's not your problem. What's in your control? Call the adhan. It's not in your control to bring people. What's in your control? Call the adhan. Your work is to convey your message, you convey your message. Anybody is coming, not coming, listening, not listening, that's not your problem. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send who He wants to send. So I will not allow what is not in my control to prevent me from doing what is in my control. And this relates also to the blog post I made on the 20th, where I mentioned the importance of staying in the here and now. Because now the present is all that we have. Many times we find people, either we are stuck in the past, we are sitting and groaning and moaning about this happened, that happened, that happened, and so we are depressed. Or we are somewhere in the future. This is what I am going to do. This is what I will do. Now, what you will do and will not do is, alhamdulillah, it's good to have some, good aspirations. But the point is, today, what are you doing? I plan to lose weight. When? From tomorrow. From day after tomorrow. So, this will never end. This will never happen. I plan to, do this and that. The point is, if we stay with the present and say, what is it that I am doing now? Because that now is the only thing we have. The past is gone, the future, we do not know whether we will have it or not. The external world will exist, whether we will be in the world, we don't know. So, what we have is now, therefore we need to focus on the now. All the examples I gave are also of this, of people focusing on the here and now and sticking with that and ensuring that here and now I will do the best that I can do. The future, inshallah, then takes care of itself because the future depends on what we do today. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to maximize the productivity in our lives by sticking with the here and now, by doing what is in our control, and by making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the future, inshallah. We ask Allah to forgive our past and to save us from the sharr of our future and to open the doors of His rahmah for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.